in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and thank you so much for joining us at the kitchen table today. I'd like to welcome Michelle Yark, our executive producer. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. Very nice to have you here on this end of January. Cool little day.
My feet are like two ice cubes. Well, it's cold in here.
You need to bring a little blanket over your waist and kind of put it down onto the floor. That'll solve that problem for you.
I think
you.
I am.
Swama, our engineer across the glass wall here. Dean, how are you doing?
Hey, y'all.
Do you have a blanket in there?
No, I
you
got
know,
a
we keep
heater.
We keep the air. Yeah, we keep the air and heat kind of balanced in here some kind of way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle is jittery. I look, she's shaking over here. She's
so I am cold.
Anyway, Slama, what you been up to since I saw you last?
Huh? I've been having a perfectly fine month. This has been a great one.
Did you get any of that equipment in that I paid for? I mean, any of it rolling in yet?
Huh? We're working. We're twisting some screws, you know, believe it or not, plugging in some wires.
Well, it sounds pretty good with the old stuff, so I don't know what we're buying new stuff for. It sounds really good to me coming over.
I tell
here.
You, we got to get up to the 22nd century. We've got to jump up.
Well, hey, look, I'm here to serve.
And I'm here to keep you up to date.
Well, thank you so much. And let me just once again welcome all of you here. It's so nice to have everybody here around the kitchen table with us. Michelle, someone was telling me yesterday, I was actually filling up my car with gas. You know, I get in conversations at the gas
station. You bothering somebody at the gas pump?
No, I'm not bothering. I'm sitting there.
He gets distracted at the gas pump, Slama.
Sometimes. I'm sitting there putting gas in my car, and I like to be hospitable. You know what I mean?
You're a friendly guy.
I love my public.
That's right.
They made me this mediocre guy I am. So people start to say, you know, Chef, I got this great recipe. I saw your show on WFB, and I listened to the radio show, and they start to share thoughts with me. Well, this person was telling me about a great casserole that they had the other day, one of those great comfort casseroles that they had been given to help them get through the flu season casserole. Going on out there. You know what?
Yeah, there is a little flu season.
Yeah. Yeah, right, huh? I mean, she'll milk it to the end of time. You know, she comes in this morning.
You going to bring me a casserole?
No, I'm not bringing you a casserole. I'm going to bring you one of those frozen ones you take out of the package. two knife slits in the plastic in that microwave 6 minutes on high. I'm going to bring you a casserole. It got me to thinking, that's the good thing about being at the gas pump and talking to somebody, because it got me to thinking about just how important those acts of kindness are. You know, I'm thinking it's true. I was thinking, this woman was just really excited to tell me about this casserole that somebody had brought her, and it got me to thinking about church suppers and potluck dinners. And every time I drive into Donaldsonville, mm-hmm. and I make that corner, you know, there's a McDonald's on the left, there's a church on the right, I'm always struck by the church ladies who are out there with the tables, and they're all dressed up, and I just love them to death. They're so friendly, and they're doing a supper. And I see the sign, church supper, $5, or contributions accepted. Mm-hmm. So I'll stop
and
there.
And you know that's good food.
Oh, my God. Is it good food? And I'll stop and I'll cut up with them a little bit. And then a car will stop to buy one of their plates. And they'll say, oh, Chef, you cooked this? I say, I sure did. Then the fight starts. But anyway, I just love these women at the church suppers in Donaldsonville. But anyway, the church supper didn't start in Donaldsonville. I hate to say it didn't even start in America. In fact, it can be traced to the English countryside and then eventually to New England, where it became a big part of all of that after the American Revolution, when towns could no longer, Slama, support their ministers by collecting levies or taxes. The women organized church suppers to raise money for the minister. You know what I mean? To keep the church going. That's why they called church suppers, you know. The idea spread in different regions, developed their own types of food, but the theme was always the same. It was good home-cooked meals, communities coming together to raise funds, to celebrate the season's bounty, or to just, as I do with the ladies in Donaldsonville, to meet and mingle.
Meet and mingle you do. You know, they call these potluck dinners, too.
Yeah, they call them potluck dinners. I stand there and I eat mine out of that styrofoam box while people are passing by tooting the horn. I wave to them.
You kind of like marketing.
Yeah, I'm marketing. I'm the marketing committee.
Well, you know, you say committee, but it really does take committees to put on these these suppers and events. It's kind of like running a restaurant, really, if you think about it. You need to have a staff.
A staff willing to listen.
Oh, I see.
There's a difference.
I see. You're running the team. There's prep time involved. You got to decide who's peeling what, who's chopping, who's making the trendy, whose roux are you going to use. Now, that could be controversial
Oh, my God. Don't even get started with the roux. Oh.
Where are you going to put
the food down
before the event gets there?
Who's got the ice chest? Huh?
It's a whole deal.
Well, it's all great questions if you're going to make something like that happen. An appointed events planning committee, that's a tough thing to find in Louisiana. I should say an agreeable appointed committee has to meet to decide, you know, when they're going to do it. This is what the ladies tell me anyway. You know, I say, how y'all put this stuff on? They say, well, we got to meet. Our committee meets. Mm-hmm. And then they say, we got to, you know, we choose our date, like today, you know, this is a good day because all of us, we were free.
You got to work around other community events.
We've got to come up with the menu, what they're going to do. They're smothered round steak.
Oh.
Smothered round steak, rice and gravy, and little bitty peas with a roux in it. Oh, that was the dinner yesterday. I got a plate to go. Anyway, they got to talk about the budget. Who's going to handle the money? That's a big one right there.
Yeah.
And then they got to find the men folks to come up and set up the tables. They need other things as well. You know, how they got to discuss how the meal's going to be served. Is it buffet or is it going to be in those styrofoam boxes? Are they going to pass it around family style? Are they going to set tables out there, which I see sometimes? How many tables are they going to need? Often some of these churches, like this one, has a little storage building in the back. Mm-hmm. And these ladies, you know, they're ready. I love it because they said, we ain't renting that stuff no more.
I don't blame them.
We're not renting.
That can get expensive.
Well, they figured it out is all I'm saying. And that's what successful church stuff is all about.
That's right. And if you have a good person that's handling the budget and collecting warmers and pots and pans and the styrofoam containers and getting donations, you can really raise a considerable amount of money. You know, there was this church on Prince Edward Island in Canada that paid off their mortgage, their church mortgage, with lobster suppers.
Well, I guess so. I mean,
lobster suppers.
I mean, I'd have bought a couple of those myself.
They started as a one-day-a-week event, but they were so popular that now the church supper is 6 days a week, June through September.
Wow.
That's a successful church supper.
It's a restaurant.
It is. The mortgage was paid off a long time ago.
But the suppers continue. Well, who wouldn't want lobster? I mean, my God, a good lobster supper.
So now the proceeds go to support other church charities and good works in the community. As you had said, that the church suppers have been a New England tradition for generations.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it started in America.
Exactly. Know? But different regions have developed their own church supper specialties. You know, there are fried chicken dinners in the South. You see barbecue dinners a lot of time, bean and ham suppers in the Northeast.
Apple pie up in Vermont, somebody told me.
Oh, wouldn't you like to go to an apple pie supper?
Oh, are you kidding?
The Amish dinners, I've been to one of those. Amos and Hannah, they put on an Amish dinner, and I just happened to be driving through Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I caught me a church supper.
You did.
I blend in anywhere I am. I fit right on in. Amos and Anna, they put me right into the house.
You just made yourself at home.
You better believe
it. Well, you know, there are chowders. You know, if you think about Cape Cod. Chowder suppers. Did you know this? Some people believe that macaroni and cheese, which was once known in southeastern Connecticut as macaroni pudding. They think macaroni and cheese actually originated as a casserole at a New England church supper.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt about it. And a lot of the church suppers just relied on making things come together easy. So I have spaghetti and I have cheese and put them together. I mean, and especially in the cheese-making part of the country. Why do you think the ladies in Downsville were doing the smothered down, as they say, smothered down seven steaks with rice and gravy and peas? Why do you think? That's the market. I mean, we don't want any clam chowder. We want you to buy a lobster down here. We want those smothered down seven steaks. You know what I mean? Well, there's another event in New England that doesn't involve seafood but is very, very popular. And, Michelle, that's called the Bean Hole Bean Supper. Similar to a clam bake, a hole is dug in the ground. A fire is burned until that ground is just red hot and the coals are on there. Then a pot of beans is set down inside that hole and then covered with dirt. Well, of course, you got to put a lid on the pot. I mean, you got to try this without a lid, right? I mean, you got to be complete with your recipe. Yeah, you leave them there 12 to 13 hours and then you dig it up and serve it. But you want to remember that buried pot will take that long, and the folks sit around that hole that's been covered up, and they tell stories. See?
You been to a bean supper?
I tell you what, I've been to a fish boil, and I've been to a bean supper. Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
You know what
I'm thinking? This could be a book. Well, like so many great recipes that were initiated in the hunting and fishing camp, baking the beans in a buried cast iron pot was a lumber camp specialty in the Northeast. Originally, the Native Americans cooked these beans with maple syrup and bits of venison or even corn, sometimes fish, which were later replaced with molasses and salt pork. When the colonists started to arrive, they traded these cast iron pots for boats and like in Louisiana, pirogues. Mm-hmm. And a whole new deal was born. These buried pot suppers that took a long time to cook.
And there just seems to be something wholesome and just a real goodness about church suppers and potluck dinners. And just the name of it kind of makes you want to slow down for a minute, take a deep breath. Turn your cell phone on vibrate.
Yeah.
You know?
It's about rural life. It's about country life, right?
It is. And many of the traditional recipes are the ones that are most looked forward to. Just like you were saying, some churches have their own specialty, like you were talking about the ladies in Donaldsonville with the seven steaks. Maybe the specialty is meatballs. You know, there's spaghetti dinners
Big in the Italian community, like Chicago. They're going to have the big pots of meatballs and spaghetti for their church suppers.
But the one thing that's certain and tried and true across the board is it's all homemade, it's all comfort food, and it's all delicious. It's a community coming together. They're sharing, they're planning, they're cooking, they're eating. You're making memories.
And you know what? It's what we, especially in Louisiana, are known for. You know, these big social events, these big camp dinners, bonfires for the Christmas season. Louisiana is absolutely known throughout its 64 parishes for people coming together to not only do good for others like this, but at the same time just coming together because families are so large as great social events. So y'all, we're going to take a little break right now, but we're going to continue to talk about this. We have a great guest too, who's been in the spirit of church suppers and potluck events for a long, long, long time. So you don't want to miss what we're going to be talking about. And by the way, it's casserole season. No doubt about that.
Come home, it's supper time. The shadows supper time.
Greetings. Move to KRVS every Sunday night for 2 hours of hardcore classic Rasta reggae radio right here on Jamon. Jamon, Sunday nights 9 to 11 p.m., Saturday mornings 1 to 3 here on KRVS, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Hi, this is Oliver and Chris Wood of the Wood Brothers.
And we're inviting you to visit E-Town this week,
where we'll be joined by Nick and Helen and Gretchen Peters.
And the winner of the E-Achievement Award. That's this week in E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS.
There's a car, truck, or boat taking up space at your house, and you're finally ready to do something about it, KRVS just might be the answer. Your vehicle could be used to support public radio in our community through KRVS's car donation program. One phone call is all it takes. Whether it's running or not, we'll come and get the vehicle, send you a tax receipt when it sells, and you just supported KRVS. Call us now at 877-KRVS-887 or visit our website at krvs.org to learn more. And thanks.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. It's supper time. Yeah, it's supper time. Oh, it's supper time, very best time of day. It's supper time. Yeah, it's
All right, everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, the best cultural show on radio as well. We talk about foods from every walk of life here. And today, Michelle, we're talking about church suppers and potluck events. And there were some great stories told in that first section. And again, I want to commend the African-American ladies from Donaldsonville who's always having their potluck suppers. And it changes every single week or so, a different, whether it's Southern fried chicken or whether it's smothered round steaks or whether it's sugar cured ham during the sugar season here in Louisiana. So I want to commend them. But we have a great guest who knows a whole lot about this as well.
Yes,
right?
We do. We have a wonderful guest straight from the coast of Maine today, Elaine Robinson. She's the author of the book entitled The Church Potluck Supper Cookbook. I think she's the perfect guest for our show today. She's actually a Massachusetts native, but she's always called New England home. She's a graduate of Boston University and Newton Theological Seminary. She's actually been a minister's wife for 52 years, and she likes to tell the story that she received a cookbook as a wedding gift with a nice inscription in it. And that inscription was, "For although he may be concerned with their souls, you may have to be concerned with their stomachs." And I think nothing could be more true. The inscription stayed with her, and that kind of started her on her culinary path, where she's enjoyed hundreds of church suppers, hundreds of potluck events. She and her husband are now retired. They live in a small village, as I said, on the coast of Maine. But, of course, they're still involved in the church and the community. She participates as a community club member, as kind of the go-to person for their speaker series where they bring authors in. She's also working on their upcoming events such as Soup and a Movie. I like that. The Spaghetti Supper for the community club. And she's just about to start her 2013 church supper schedule.
Well, she might have to bring up a Cajun and Creole chef up there to Maine. Oh. I think I'd be a good guest up there. You know what I mean? Now, they've never heard an accent like this in Maine.
I bet they haven't.
A lot of Cajuns up there, too.
Well, that's true. Elaine, welcome to Stirring It Up. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
We know on a cold day like this, you must have something on the stove. What's cooking?
Chicken soup.
I wanted chicken soup today.
Now, Elaine, do you start off by boiling the chicken with the vegetables and then let all that nice stock come together and then break it apart and take the bones out? Is that what you do with yours?
Well, usually. But today, I'm cheating a bit with a fresh chicken breast and lots of veggies.
That's good. I mean, you have to go with the seasons and the time you have to cook. That's look, I absolutely love your part of the country. I have a brother who lives in Gloucester, Mass., and he's always taking drives up through Maine. What part of Maine do you live in?
Well, I live in southern Maine on the coast. You've probably heard of Kennebunkport.
Absolutely. I pass through it quite often, going
do
on
you?
Up to Portland, yeah.
Yeah, well, we live about 3 miles from the border of Kennebunkport.
Oh, wow.
And I lived in Kennebunk for 28 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Michelle, remember the day we were driving through there and we stopped and got this big, beautiful lobster dinner on one of the piers up there out into the water with Jay Kimball? Remember that?
Yes,
I bet that's exactly where she lived.
The best lobster roll. We ate our way through that part of Maine.
Oh, wow.
We did.
We did.
Well,
no,
we'd love to have you come back.
We would, too. We absolutely love, as I say, that part of the world. Now, what's the temperature over there today?
Well, we have warmed up, and we are in the low 30s. We were 1 degree when I talked with Mariette the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. We all have warmed up. Holy cow.
So we feel like we've got sun today and a blue sky. We got some very frozen snow, quite a lot of it.
Wow.
But it's at least it's warm.
Well, I hate to say it, but here in South Louisiana, Elaine, we shut the schools down when we hit 50 degrees. We really do love your book. I mean, the book that you did, I know it first came out, I think, in 2003, and then Barnes & Noble redid it, I think, in 2006. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and we thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Well, you're so welcome.
You know, you start off with a phrase that we really liked. A meal shared in love has a spiritual dimension. Our spirits are fed by food lovingly prepared and shared. And certainly the church supper, the potluck event, they're all great examples of this. Can you kind of tell our listeners a little more about the connection between nourishing the body and nourishing the soul through this community participation? Because you've been at it for a number of years.
Well, we believe that the human family is created for community. We are body and spirit. Many religions have a sacred meal as a part of their heritage and as a part of the practice of their faith. A meal is not just a meal when shared in the presence of others. I think community becomes more and more important as our country and our culture progress.
You're absolutely right about that. When we introduced you, we were talking about you're about to start the schedule of church suppers. And I never thought about there being a schedule of church suppers. How many do you guys do in a year?
Well, in my former church, we did one every Friday night in the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
And for the tourists, if you've gone up Route 1 through Kennebunk, our church was just off Route 1 by the Brickstore Museum. I'm not involved in as many now. We will have a big corned beef and cabbage here in March. We'll have shrimp night in February, and that's a potluck. But everybody that comes that brings a main dish, it has shrimp in it, and they bring the recipe with them. It's a great night.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, what did you say in the summer you have potlucks, or your church did, every Friday for tourists?
Yes. They started them even before we went there in 1970, and as people came up the road, there was a church supper sign out. People would stop by. And the one that I was mainly involved with was the turkey, and that was always... A turkey supper is always a good seller, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Right,
You know what I mean? It's a lot of prep, but it's a lot of fun, too. And people do love it.
So were church suppers part of your youth, part of your growing up years, or was that something that took on life after you became a minister's wife?
More after I was married, and we used to live on the coast of Rhode Island, on Narragansett Bay, on an island. And we had suppers there, but not like Kennebunk. Kennebunk really did the suppers. But one of the fun things that I do now is work with about five of us, put on a lobster luncheon in July at our seaside fair. We try to have the best lobster roll. Now, that's hard, but we have a pretty good following.
Now, we love a good lobster roll. Now, do y'all get all the meat prepared, or you use only knuckles? How do you do? Do y'all start from scratch, or do you buy prepared meat?
We don't boil the lobsters ourselves. We buy the lobster meat all shucked out. And then we mix it in very small batches, and all we put in is a little bit of Hellman's. We don't do celery. We do no fillers. In other words, we do just lobster.
All lobster meat with just that little coating of Hellman's mayonnaise and then in that.
That holds it together.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's in the roll. I mean, the roll, only you have that roll. We cannot get that bread down south. Everybody thinks you can put it in a hot dog bun, but you just can't do it.
It's hard.
And,
we toast the rolls.
Michelle, they paint them in butter, then they toast the rolls, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
That's their secret weapon.
Now, when you married a minister, did you have any idea that you were going to be so instrumental in food events in the church? How did all of that begin?
I had no idea. I had no idea. But I like to be a part of a group. I like to be on a project. I like to work with a team. And that's what you do if you're preparing a supper. I don't need to be a bunch of grapes all by myself.
You know, Elaine, a couple of years ago, we had some authors on the show. They had written a book called Being Dead is No Excuse, which sounds a little morbid, I guess, but it is the funniest book because they offer tips on hosting the perfect funeral. And let's be honest, that is a church event as well. I mean, we're honoring that friend, that loved one with kind of their last church supper, right? Kind of
exactly
their send-off.
Right.
So
I was heavily involved in that, as you may have read in the book, at Christ Church, because we would have a gathering downstairs in the dining room as people moved up to our area from Boston and bought a condo. They had no place for all these coats and cars and all that, you know, that comes with when a group comes up from lower New England. So we started hosting them. And we didn't want to get into buying flowers, so we always bought a rose and gave it to the nearest next of kin when they left. And I can't tell you how that hand reached out for that rose. And people would meet me in the grocery store months later talking about it. It was an outcome that I just had no idea how much it would mean to a family. But we tried to do it well. We had no price on it. We accepted donations because we didn't want anybody to ever say they couldn't afford to have Christ Church do it.
Wow.
So we would only ask for a donation, and if they didn't give us one, it didn't matter. But the donations were substantial because people really appreciated it.
I also think, Elaine, that often people realize that in events like this that there are people who, through necessity, need that help, but yet cannot offer anything other than thanks, whereas other people realizing the work that's being done and the need to do it, they contribute so generously to events like that. And that's when we see the real heart of people shine, I think, is at events like this.
Yeah, it's a very meaningful ministry. It really is.
Sure.
And we, unfortunately, had a lot of funerals in Kennebunk.
Mm.
And that's not so over here in the village. Kennebunk was a very busy place, and you don't have a lot of time to plan or shop. So another woman and I had a schedule. We had all of our doilies. We had everything we needed so we could just pluck it in, and then she'd cook the eggs, and I'd cook the chicken, or vice versa, and we'd make small finger rolls.
Ryan?
Then we asked for assorted sweets, and we put out cheese and grapes and coffee and tea and punch or cider if it was in the fall. You know, we just...
So, Jay, it was just a matter of being ready to go and being prepared,
yeah,
somewhat, so that when the time came... You refer in your book to the importance of the planning committee, and you just mentioned some thoughts about that. What are some of the mistakes that y'all learned and fixed over the years about putting together church suppers like this, potluck events? What were some of the mistakes that can be avoided that y'all solved during the years?
Well, in a potluck event, you can just say, bring whatever you want. Or you can be a little less trusting and have certain people would bring casseroles. You know, you can kind of plan so you don't end up with jellied salads and brownies.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That makes so much sense, right?
Yeah.
That right there is a thought that's incredible. And look how incredibly simple that is.
Well, you know, and I just think that it's beautiful that so many church suppers still exist. You know, I belong to a little rural Catholic church. And I say rural because it is right on the Mississippi River. And they still do community events like that, the small church suppers. And I can remember when we had Family Day, they divided it just as you said, and I was on the dessert committee. Thank you very much, John Foltz. I was on the dessert committee.
Well, let me just say this, Elaine. I heard no accolades about any dessert that Michelle brought to that dinner, so I'm not sure about it. I'm sure it was good, though. I'm sure it was good.
It was. You know, you have so many great recipes in your book. Collected through the years, or these family recipes?
Well, some of them are, but I wrote to... I cannot tell you how many churches in Maine, from the Canadian border right down here to southern Maine, for a book I did, which was regional. And then when this opportunity came with Adams Media, I sort of spread out to other parts of the country. I think a cookbook that's, you know, of this type that's too heavy on just a few people can get kind of boring.
Yeah, you definitely have a regional flavor. Yeah. And many flavors across the board. You're right, so that it appeals to a lot of people.
Well, and I think something else, too, Elaine, when we wanted to do a show on casseroles and potluck suppers and all of that, there wasn't a lot of resources. I mean, there were a couple of great books, but when we found the Church Potluck Supper Cookbook that you put out, and I want to tell everybody, this book will be listed on our website, jfalls.com, the Church Potluck Supper Cookbook. You know, we grabbed it right away and looked, started to look at the table of contents and saw things like the potluck supper and the main dishes that would be done, and you mentioned some of them, like the chicken, the turkey, the pasta dishes. When we looked at fundraising suppers, main dishes for that, and the way you have the beverages laid out, food sales, food for family in crisis. I mean, I think the book is so well laid out, simply done, beautifully laid out, good stories in it. What brought you to the point where you said, I can do this, I can do this book?
Well, I was asked to do a book on, I guess it was on church suppers. This was quite a while ago, and I thought, you know, there are just so many kinds of church suppers. And I like to read cookbooks. I love to read cookbooks. And so I thought that if I broke it up like that, it would be more interesting. And I have a great love for food for the family in crisis, because we had a daughter who was so very sick, and the church has fed us the days I had to drive to Boston to dialysis with her.
Wow.
And it was absolutely phenomenal. And so, you know, I can never cook enough food for somebody else to thank for all the food that was cooked for us. You can't do for the ones that did for you, but you can do it for others and pass that love along.
Well, that is such a beautiful and special message, no doubt about it. I want all of our listeners to know the Church Potluck Supper Cookbook. We will have it on the website. Elaine, I know it's cold. I want you to go stoke the fire and stir that pot of soup. Even though it's made with chicken breast, that's okay with me. I know it's going to be great. And I promise you that we're going to try to contact y'all and see if we can come up to that lobster supper and maybe even bring our radio show up to your area of the woods. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. And if you have a special Cajun recipe that I could make for our Mardi Gras that we try to put on every Fat Tuesday here at the Fire Barn in Pitiford Pool, I would truly appreciate it.
Well, you know what? I have your address. I'm going to send you my cookbook, The Encyclopedia of Cajun and Creole Cuisine, and there's 590 recipes in there, and you have permission to cook every doggone one of them, Elaine. I'm going to send send that out to you tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Well,
you are the people I would love to meet.
You might not say that once you meet us. But anyway, no, we're going to send that to you. And look, thank you so much for your generous spirit, and thank you so much for being a guest on Starting It Up. And be on the lookout for that cookbook, okay?
Okay, I will.
Thank you so much, y'all. We're going to be back in a minute.
Long is the struggle hard to find. I pray, Father, please forgive me. Stood up and with all my might I sang to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Join KRVS and the Acadiana Center for the Arts for Louisiana Crossroads, live this Wednesday night at 7 from the Central School Theater in Lake Charles. Wednesday's show features Joel Savoy's Honky Tonk Merry-Go-Round, exploring the influence of Texas swing and old-time country in South Louisiana. That's Louisiana Crossroads, live this Wednesday night at 7, right here on KRVS.
In the 1970s, while Zimbabweans fought for their freedom, Thomas Mapfumo spearheaded a cultural revival in the country's pop music. Hello, I'm Georges Collinet. Join me next time for Thomas Mapfumo, The War Years, on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Yeah. Konnichiwa, this is Emily with Rock Japan, inviting you to join me late night Fridays at 3 a.m. and Mondays at 11 p.m. here on KRVS 88.7 FM. We'll explore the new, old, and experimental music of the island nation of Japan and how they rock the world from dusk till the rising sun.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, now broadcasting in HD radio technology.
Sing for your supper and you'll get breakfast. Songbirds always eat if their song is sweet.
Everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting and culture show on radio. It's so nice to have you back at the kitchen table with us. And I just want to say that it's been great talking to Elaine Robinson. And again, her book, The Church Potluck Supper Cookbook, which, by the way, can be used for not only potluck suppers or church suppers or anything. You heard what she said. Nothing is better than repaying someone with a nice plate of food or a casserole or whatever. Huh, Michelle?
That's right.
And I mean, she's very, I mean, her spirit was really great with that. We will have all of the information about her book on church suppers on our website, www.jfalls.com. Now, talking about jfalls.com, what about our Starting It Up? We getting any action on our Facebook page, Sam?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of comments about Leah Chase's birthday bash. Was that?
Yeah, that was about 3 weeks ago. Remember that, Michelle?
Yes, indeed.
And we
her 90th birthday.
Her 90th birthday and the formation of the Dookie and Leah Chase Foundation. Over 700 people attended that dinner at the Hyatt.
Wow.
And, of course, she was on our show a couple of weeks ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen of Creole Cooking, we call it. And, yeah, the chefs came together. Emeril Lagasse did the appetizer. John Besh and Susan Spicer and myself did the main meal. And 700 guests came. And
wait, you said Chef Fultz was there?
Chef Fultz was there in person.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly right, huh? But anyway, it was really, really great and so deserving of her. She's always so appreciative because, Michelle, you know, she always says, I'd much rather be on the giving end than the getting end.
Yeah.
That's a famous line, but she was on the getting in that night. I'm going to tell you right now. So anyway, what else going on our Facebook page? Anything people are responding to our Bruce Reed dinner there?
We've got a bunch of stovehounds and a comment here and there. We're still looking for those traditional family recipes. We're looking for that stovehound of the month.
Yeah,
I think people are sitting on their recipe.
I think they are. And you know what? Maybe we ought to fatten this thing up a little bit. David Hubble really needs to. I mean, he's the president of Stovehouse Club. He needs to get.
He's got
to
get the truth.
He needs to start beating the drums over there. You know. By the way, all of David Hubble's family's coming to Revolution, and everybody comes in, and they know that he's president of Stovehouse Club. You know, because everybody comes in, and they think by mentioning David's name, they're going to get in. That's how much influence David carries.
It works.
How am I going to tell him no? I said, well, y'all come on in. Can you imagine if I told David Hubble's family that they can't get into Revolution after he's doing all that good promo for us? We got to take care of David, right?
Yeah, he might have a revolution at that point.
Yeah, we would. But anyway, so Michelle, what about our Bush Reed dinner?
Well, February 24th, starting to fill up, so folks need to get their reservations made.
Now, this is a special event, y'all. This is our first annual, so you definitely want to become a charter member. It's $250 plus for the dinner, but it's going to be worth every bit of that because
wine pairing with each of the six courses.
Absolutely.
Plus, start with a charcuterie reception.
And a charcuterie reception, salami, in case you kind of get all your terminology down. Charcuterie is the art of making wonderful things out of pork after the butchery, you know. It's the sausages and the hams and all of those kind of interesting things, what we call the salumi section of the menu. So, we'll be passing all those wonderful hors d'oeuvres around, everything made. And we have our heritage breed of pork. We have it on the website. So if you go to our website, you can find it. You can read about the pigs, where we got them from. We got them from Black Hill Farms in Texas.
See their photos.
See that photo.
That pig pen getting some use.
Oh, look, with the last thing standing at the end of the world be that pig pen. Like, you should have seen that pig pen. You should see. Well, if people can't see it, they can go to the website. So what's the date again, Michelle?
Sunday, February 24th.
So we're going to start off with the salumi, with the charcuterie, and then everybody's going to be seated. Only 50 people in the Bienville suite in one long table. It's going to be a big chateau table. By the way, I got a seat for you.
You do.
Let me know if you need a second one. So we're going to have 50 seats, and then we're going to follow with a six-course dinner. And in the middle of the dinner, we're going to have one beautiful shrimp dish that's flavored with pork. Mm-hmm. But everything is coming from the Boucherine. This is the first annual. And Molly Al-Sommelier is doing all the wines. So you can go on and find out more information about that. Now, what else, Lama, should we talk about?
So basically, we're looking for your recipe. Like, when people think you... they think of that recipe that you're always bringing to the house, or you're bringing to your friend's house, or grandma's.
It's their family tradition, and everybody knows they make it. It's like at the funerals where they know who's going to bring the best devil egg, right? Mm. They know where it's going to come. They know who's going to make that best string bean casserole. It doesn't matter.
That's Mama Sue.
Yeah, you bring that in, you know. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those traditional recipes from the family that you're known for, and then we're going to judge, and you'll be our guest.
Yeah, upload some pictures. It's really easy. Just go our Facebook page. It's Stirring It Up. That's Stirrin It Up Radio. Give us a little write-up, a little explanation of what we're looking at and how that ties into everything that you are, and then I guess it's all up to the Stovehound.
And then David Hubble's going to help us choose.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wouldn't be legit without him, because they think we kind of chose anybody, but David's got to be part of that. So, and we may even get our Stovehound in England to be a part of the committee.
Oh, that'd be good.
Now, Michelle, what about books today? What are you recommending? I know you have a couple of great books here, because we're always trying to entice you to build your library, y'all. Build your culinary library. Each show has a plethora of great information that we share with
you. Well, you mentioned it earlier, the Church Potluck Supper Cookbook, Elaine Robinson's book. She was our guest today. It's a great book. It's a wholesome book. It just kind of makes you feel good. The community spirit and her graciousness, and just the graciousness of humanity.
And I think you can also use the recipe. We call them the Church Potluck Supper. But I mean, we're big tailgaters here.
Oh, yeah.
We always have family events. There's always something going on. Her book is perfect for those kind of recipes.
Well, it's got a lot of tips and tricks for running a great church supper event. Or maybe the great, as you said, tailgate party, because an event is an event.
Wherever crowds are coming, it could be a crawfish boil. There's always something else you need on the table.
Great,
you
know? Crowd-pleasing recipes. Yeah. The second book that I have to recommend today is Simply Casseroles by Kim Lila. Small little book, but 100 quick and delicious one-dish dinners. Kind of make you the queen or the king of the casserole at your next church supper gathering. So we've got the Church Potluck Supper Cookbook. We've got Simply Casseroles, both great little additions for some good home-cooked comfort food.
Michelle, if you're going to a potluck supper and you're having to bring your famous dish from the family, what is it?
I think...
Now, let me just say something before you go in. You're a good cook. Now, I'm going to just come clean right now. I'm not going to say psych. I mean, your grandmother was a fabulous cook. I love your mom. You know that.
Yes.
You know, I love your mom. I consider your mom my mom, right?
Aww,
I mean,
because
I
call her mom. Her happy.
Well, no, I do. I mean, she's my mom. I love her a lot. But she cooks interesting dishes.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she could care less. That's what I love about your wife. I'm saying, there it is. Spaghetti for Christmas. There it is. Take it or leave it. That's your business. That's your mom. Your grandmother, who I had the pleasure of meeting, also a fabulous cook. You didn't know how to cook a doggone thing when you came to work here.
No, I didn't. But, I couldn't boil water.
But
seriously.
But we inspired us, Lama, to go back and pick up some of those family recipes. So what is it? What's the recipe?
Well, you know, one thing that I like is broccoli casserole. And you do have the cream sauce and the cheese in there. And a lot of times, depending on how you do it, it can be a casserole or it can be a dip, even. Sometimes throw a little shrimp in there to spice it up some. Same thing with cauliflower casserole. I mean, you kind of get the vegetable in there, but you get the good stuff, too.
And mine, I'm going to tell you, I love Ruth Fertel's oyster dressing.
Yeah.
Now, I have 1,000 recipes. My dad's crawfish etouffee, my dad's crawfish bisque, Mary Fascio's gumbo zab, you know, that wonderful green gumbo with greens are just beautiful.
Oh, wow.
But when I sat at the table that night and Ruth Fertel bless her heart, she was wasn't going to be here much longer. She was suffering from cancer at the time, and it was her birthday.
Yep.
I'll never forget that 85th birthday at Bittersweet. And she said, John, I'm going to share a recipe with you nobody in my family has. And it's my Plaquemine Parish, where she grew up in Happy Jack, Louisiana. She grew up in a little town called Happy Jack. She said, we had a lot of oysters, and we had orange wine, she said. And we have the best recipe. And she said, I'm going to give it to you. My Plaquemine Parish oyster dressing, and it is phenomenal, made with French bread, right? That's a great, great, great recipe right there. Slama, do you want to hear, because a lot of times I'll bring Mamaya's country-style lemon meringue, as I call it, lemon meringue pie, as she used to call it. People love, because especially in the winter season when we have so many Meyer lemons on the trees, people always trying to figure out to make Mamaya's country style lemon pie. That's a great one. Now I also have my Creole pork and rice casserole. Also have that.
Rice,
you know,
casserole.
Yeah, that's a really good casserole. I like that one a lot, and I'm happy to do that.
I do have mac and cheese.
Oh, you want a mac and cheese casserole?
Well, I'm just saying, we'll let Slama pick today.
You have the mac and cheese casserole Creole style.
Only pick one, is that?
Only one. Well, I'm going to load them all up on the website, so our guests here can go get anyone. The pork casserole, my Mamaya's lemon pie, so just depends whether you want the mac and cheese, the pie, or the casserole.
I guess we got to pick that mac and cheese.
You see that? Most of the public would like that mac and cheese.
Yeah. It's a great recipe, and it's not traditional. I mean, you could do traditional, but you put crawfish in there, but you also put Gouda cheese.
Well, you know, Super Bowl's coming up, right? And the good thing about this mac and cheese Creole style, you can add anything to it, and it'll get you through halftime, I tell you that. Anyway, y'all, today in America, mac and cheese means that blue box.
No.
Oh, that blue box with that elbow macaroni in it. It's really a shame when you think that a dish so simple to make from scratch and enhanced with all of these seasonal and regional ingredients, that the cooks don't just jump at the opportunity to make it. Well, I put this recipe together just for that.
Let me ask you something. We're talking elbow macaroni, but kind of in this area, and it's only in recent years, but it's an old recipe, it's like the spaghetti.
We only made spaghetti in the mac and cheese.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of Lisa makes.
You go definitely with spaghetti. I mean,
can you do that here?
Oh, absolutely. 12 ounces of spaghetti. Well, y'all, you're going to preheat that oven to 350. I mean, that's the first thing you're going to do. And you can make, by the way, do this the day before and then bake it the day you're going to use it. You can do that, too. And you're going to grease a 13x9x2 baking dish, or you can just spray it with some of that butter spray. And then in a pot, you're going to boil in lightly salted water and until tender, which is about 12 minutes, a 12-ounce pack of your favorite pasta. I mean, you can use spaghetti, or you can use elbow mac, or you can use whatever you like. And while the macaroni is cooking, you want to prepare the cheese sauce. So in a large pot, you're going to melt 3 tablespoons of butter, or about 1/4 cup, over medium-high heat. To that, Michelle, you're going to add 1 cup of chopped onions, 1/2 cup of chopped red bell pepper for color, 1/4 cup of minced garlic, and you're going to saute that around in that 1/4 cup of butter until the vegetables are wilted or translucent, as we say. And then you're going to gradually whisk into that the flour. And how much flour? I'm going to put in that just enough to thicken up that butter, which is about 1/4 cup of flour. Once that's blended in, you've made a little white roux, you're going to add 3.5 cups. Now listen to this. Reduced fat. I'm talking about the 2% milk.
Yeah. So this is a diet recipe.
Well, you know, I always say cut back when you get a chance. Because you're going to put some stuff in here.
That's going to make up the difference.
Yeah, cut back when you can. And by the way, you can add all of the different cheeses in here, because all these cheeses you can get low fat nowadays, if you wish. For the Super Bowl, and you're making this, or you're making this for a potluck supper, splurge. So put in my 3.5 cups of reduced fat milk, and I'm going to stir that in for about 5 minutes until it begins to thicken and boil. Then I'm going to add my coarsely grated cheese, my Gouda, and my Edam or Edam. 1.5 cups of finely grated aged Gouda cheese. Just a really good Gouda. I'm going to add 2.5 cups packed of coarsely grated, just regular Gouda cheese. You can buy the Gouda and you can get that aged Gouda. That's really nice. Just kind of finely grated versus coarsely ground. So you're going to have about 3 cups of that Gouda going in. Then 2.5 cups of that packed coarsely grated.
You got 5.5 cups of cheese in this recipe.
Well, this is macaroni and cheese.
It's the other half.
So, yeah, that's it. So, you're going to have 2.5 cups of packed coarsely grated aged Gouda, and you're going to have 1.5 cup finely grated aged Gouda. That's 3 cups. Then you're going to have 2.5 cups packed of coarsely grated Edam cheese. You can buy that at the store. And you're going to divide that, eat them, because you're going to put some on the top. You're going to cook it for about 2 minutes until the cheese melts into that milk, stirring constantly. Then you're going to stir in a little cayenne pepper to taste. Nutmeg, just a nice little pinch, because you always want a little taste of nutmeg. Salt, pepper, granulated garlic, I always say it to taste. And then you're going to stir that sauce. Once everything melted, you're going to set it aside. Now, Michelle.
Yes.
You're going to place breadcrumbs in a bowl, and you're going to have on those breadcrumbs, seasoned Italian, 1 cup of seasoned Italian breadcrumbs. You're going to drizzle a little bit butter, 3 tablespoons of butter in the breadcrumbs. And then remember that 1/2 cup of finely grated Gouda that you have put on the side? You're going to mix that in. And then you're going to take that bowl of pasta that you cooked, that 12 ounces. You're going to mix it with that cheese sauce. Now, let's say you want your crawfish tails in. You're going to mix them in that bowl with the pasta and the cheese. You're going to mix it up with your crab meat or your crawfish or your ground meat or your ground pork, whatever you want. You're going to pour it into that bowl. You're going to top it with that breadcrumb mixture. You're going to put it in that oven. You're going to bake it for 40 minutes. Then you lock the screen door because they're coming. Recipe on the website, y'all. Just go to jfalls.com. Click into the radio show. They're all right there. Y'all be safe and make a little mac and cheese.